This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I'm Glenn the Geek on the ball from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Jamie Jennings, broadcasting now from Norman, Oklahoma for the holidays. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning for November 26, 2010, episode 20, sponsored by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, horse world.
Yeah, it's Black Friday. It's Black Friday. It's Black Friday. Up and get your shopping done.
I got it on sale.
And we can't afford it.
It was such a bargain.
You paid way too much.
I just couldn't pass up a deal like this today.
How about a little self-control?
50% night, cause we both don't wanna pay no retail price. Black Friday, get together your wish list,
so you can get into the spirit of Christmas.
Gimme. Black Friday. Gimme.
Black Friday.
What was that last one? Was that the Justin Timberlake Saturday Night Live group?
I don't know who it was, actually. I was just looking around YouTube very early this morning and found all those Black Friday songs. There are a million Black Friday songs that I didn't even know about.
That's hilarious. I love it. Well, happy Black Friday. Happy Thanksgiving a day after. How was it?
We had a good day, actually. We just hung around the house here, and we were farm-sitting in the pouring down rain. It was interesting here yesterday. It was almost, I guess it was around 65 degrees, approaching 70 yesterday, and it poured all day. So it was kind of fun, though. We still went out and did the barn last night and everything. And then this morning we woke up to a couple inches of snow on the ground.
No way!
It's now 27 degrees. So we dropped almost 40 degrees overnight.
Oh, my gosh. Colic alert. People, give your horses some mash and some electrolytes. Throw the blankets on. Let's get them drinking some water. I mean, 40 degrees in one day?
Yeah, it was pouring when we went to bed last night. And then during the night, I heard the rain stop, and I thought, oh, the rain stopped. It's because the snow started. And it was really weird to wake up this morning and have it be so cold. It took Jennifer a while. Of course, we couldn't find our ice scrapers because we take them out of the car. You know, when summer starts, you take them out of the car in the spring, and then we never find them when in the fall when you need them.
Absolutely.
So Jennifer came in this morning and hanging out to the barn early this morning before the show and went, where's the ice scrapers? And I said, I have no idea. So we'll be buying new ice scrapers. There's a cache of ice scrapers somewhere in this house.
Yeah, there's probably about 40 of them in one particular drawer that you don't know about.
Right.
I just remember always using my credit card to scrape the ice because I didn't know that they had tools for it. And when I moved up to Kentucky, I'd never had my windshield freeze. So I would use my credit card, and then you realize that when you go to the store to use your credit card, it doesn't work anymore.
Well, how was your Thanksgiving? Did you have a good day out there in Norman, Oklahoma?
Yeah, I had a great day. You know, it's really cold here. It was record heat day before yesterday, and then yesterday it dropped like 40 degrees. So nice and cold. And you forget that, you know, Norman is kind of in a tornado alley, because so much wind from the east side of Oklahoma and the west side of Oklahoma, they kind of come together right up this line called Tornado Alley, and that's where we are. So my husband and I decided before the big meal, because they have a big dinner here, we needed to go out and kind of get some exercise and pre-work out to make sure that, you know, we burned enough calories to consume enough food last night. So we went to play Frisbee golf. And then you get out there and you go to play frisbee golf, and it is impossible with the wind to throw the frisbee in 40-mile-an-hour gusts. My frisbee went in the creek like 4 times, and it was freezing to death, and it was a miserable frisbee golf experience, and it was freezing, and I hopefully burned some calories just trying to stay warm.
I don't think frisbees are really meant to be played in 40-mile-an-hour winds.
No, I don't think so. I learned that one. So we ended up just basically hiking around looking for frisbees for the most part. But it was a really good day. And then had dinner last night, and you sit around the fireplace and have some wine, and the kids had hot chocolate. So it was a very family day, and it was very nice. No major dramas, though. And Glenn, I would love to hear from people that had that drama with their family on Thanksgiving, like, you know, your dad got really drunk and then threw something at your brother, and then your brother got mad and did something to your sister. We want to hear about those stories. I know it's kind of, well, I want to hear about them. Anyway, 347-637-3238 is the number. If you did have any fun drama, and we also want to talk a little bit, Glenn, about Black Friday, because it is absolutely bananas right now because of Black Friday.
Yeah, you know, you were talking about frisbees. Toys R Us had 500 to 1,000 people waiting in line at every store. Now, they opened at 10 p.m. last night. They changed it up a little. A lot of the stores are trying to do that, so there's not so many problems. But they still had 500 to 1,000 people at every store nationwide.
That's crazy. And it's really not fair, I don't think, to employees to open up at 10 p.m. on Thanksgiving Day. You're supposed to be closed on the holiday.
I know. And, you know, there were a lot of stores open on Thanksgiving Day. Sears was open in the morning, and my brother went out and bought a TV yesterday. So in the morning, you know, we don't even want to go to a store because we don't want to encourage it. You know, everybody should have the day off. Back to Christmas Day.
You're kind of one in a million, because up to 138 million people plan to shop this weekend from today through Sunday. 138 million people. That is $41.2 billion is what 2009's Black Friday weekend earned. $41 billion. That's with a B.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. You can go out shopping today. I think I'm going to pass on that experience.
I plan to contribute to our economy. I'm doing what I should do as an American citizen and contributing to the economy out there. You know, I really want to go help out.
well, good luck with that. Let us know. Let us know on Monday how you made out. I wanted to remind everybody that if you didn't hear yesterday's show, Thanksgiving show, you should go back and take a listen to it in our archives at horsesinthemorning.com. It was a terrific show. Actually, I think it was between Jennifer and Jamie and I. It was one of our favorite shows that we've done to date, and we just truly enjoyed it. It was a lot of fun, and you should take a listen. It was a musical show, and the people who did listen commented on Facebook, and they seemed to enjoy a little music on the holiday, too. So take a listen to that this weekend. Don't forget, our Facebook page, just search for Horses in the Morning on Facebook, and there's conversations that go on there during the show. So if you want to chat with some of the other listeners, you can do that right on Facebook. Well, Jamie, we should get Jennifer here. Jennifer, my wife and producer of the show, is going to let us know what's going on today's show.
On today's show, Black Friday all the way, we have with us the leading equestrian photographer in the world, Gabrielle Boisel. I apologize to Gabrielle. I can't even say it. Gabrielle. give me more eggnog. And we're going to talk with her about some of the fascinating places she's visited and horses she's photographed. Anybody who's ever seen her work, it's the eye-popping stuff that you really want to hang above the mantle in the 3-foot by 5-foot size. It's really gorgeous. And we also have a little piece. Glenn and Samantha caught up with Australian video and YouTube sensations Hamish and Dave on what they're up to and their latest little cohorts. They're the bad boys of eventing in Australia. They're pretty awesome. So stick around, listen to that. And of course, we're going to be taking your calls. Want to hear about your drama or not, your shopping adventures, whatever goes. It's Friday.
That's right. Friday is sort of whatever you want to talk about day. So call in and chat about what you're doing over the weekend. Did you ride yesterday on Thanksgiving like we talked about earlier in the week? Chat about anything. We just want to hear from you. We have a little bit of time here before our first interview to take some calls. And we wanted to announce the winner of Wednesday's show. That was a gift pack from Techniche, the world's leading manufacturer of cooling and warming products. The package included a Hypercool evaporating cooling vest and neck band and a thermofur. let's just go home now and we'll call it a day. It's a thermofur air-activated heating scarf. And the winner was Emily, who called in on Wednesday. I'm trying to remember if she was from California. Remember Emily was the one who called in and her boyfriend talked her into going on a trail ride and now she's leasing a horse and everything?
Yeah, I think she was calling in from California because she was complaining about how early our show was. And I told her, I feel your pain, sister. I'm on that West Coast time, too. Yeah, I remember.
So congratulations, Emily. Now, today's prize for anybody that calls in or posts on our Facebook page, and you can post anything. It's free for all Friday. So post pictures of your horses. Tell us what you plan to do over the weekend. You got a cool horse video you want to put up there. Just anything you want at Horses in the Morning on our Facebook page. And that runs through Monday now, Monday morning at 9 a.m. And today's prize is $50 worth of Kentucky Performance products. They're supplement products. And it's anything you want. So you can pick from any of their terrific supplements over at Kentucky Performance Products. And you can find them at kppusa.com. I think I have turkey coma because the words just aren't coming out this morning.
You're in a tryptophan-induced coma.
I think that's it. I think that's what it is. Actually, I think it's a cheesecake-induced coma because my wife makes the best cheesecakes in the world. And we had a wonderful cheesecake yesterday, and I had some of that for breakfast this morning. And I kind of think it's the cheesecake.
I don't know, Glenn. I ate my body weight in dessert yesterday, but I don't eat turkey being a vegetarian, and I feel fine. So I'm pretty sure that it was the turkey. I'm going
to
go with that.
Hey, Jamie, I wanted to take a minute and thank. There are two people that I didn't get to say thanks to properly on Wednesday, and the first was my wife. And I wanted to thank Jennifer for 25 years she's put up with me. I have the worst ADD in the world. I'm a serial entrepreneur. I've started a dozen businesses, some successful, some not. But yet, all the time, she has put up with me through all of that. So I want to thank Jennifer. And then 2 years ago when I went to her and said, my brother David said I should start this little show. But he said I shouldn't think small. I should think big. Think about it being a network. And she was very supportive. And look now she's working for the Horse Radio Network. So thank you, dear. I love you.
Yeah, I love you too.
No.
And also, I want to say thanks that I was very thankful for a little girl from Arizona who happened one day to be reading Facebook and saw an innocuous ad that was posted there that said, co-host needed for a show. We didn't say what show. We just said co-host needed for a show. Call and leave a voicemail. And she called in and left a voicemail. And I listened to that voicemail, and I've listened to a lot of voicemails that we got calls from. But I listened to that one, and I ran over to Jennifer, and I said, this is going to be our co-host for the new Horses in the Morning show. So I'm very thankful. I look forward to waking up and joining you every morning, Jamie, here on the show.
Oh, that is so sweet. Yeah, I saw that ad, and I just – it was one of those ads you just read. You're like, I could do that. And then I thought, okay, don't think about it. Just call. Just call it right now. And so from my former job, I called during my lunch break and left you a voicemail. And I thought there's nothing more perfect for me. And having been a fan of the Horse Radio Network previously, I thought there is no job that I would be better suited for than to work for the Horse Radio Network. How can I do it? And here I am. So I'm very thankful for you and Jennifer as well. And this was a perfectly timed job to get started, and I'm absolutely loving it, and I just can't thank you and Jennifer enough. So, we're all mushy. It's free for all Friday.
Oh gosh, I'm gonna go into like some kind of insulin shock here.
too much sugary.
All right, that's enough fishy stuff.
Okay, let me finish about the prizes. Let me finish. I really enjoyed, actually, you guys, everybody's Facebook post. Everybody came onto Facebook and posted what they were thankful for, and we got the most random collection of photos, and I absolutely love it and thank everybody. And we got pictures of people's kids, horses, dogs, cats, whatever you name it. They are on our Facebook page, so keep that up. And, you know, we have two grand prizes for the month. You don't have to be a winner of one of the daily prizes to qualify, am I correct there, Glenn, to qualify for the month-long prizes?
That's correct. Anybody that calls in is automatically entered.
Yeah, so you could get a $500 holiday shopping spree from Equestrian Collections. That's EquestrianCollections.com. And they just offered listeners of the Horse Radio Network, you know, it's Cyber Monday or whatever, a coupon to help in your holiday shopping. You get $10 off your next order of $120 or more by using the coupon code at the checkout. And is it Horse Radio, Glenn?
Yeah.
Did you mess it up again?
You did that wrong the other day. Yes, I am. Hold on.
And then the other is choice of any Vespucci bridle and reins worth up to $600 just by posting on Facebook, just by becoming a part of the show by calling in the number 347-637-3238. So you can do that. So we'll get you that coupon code. Glenn, what is it?
It's Radio Show. So if you want $10 off your next order on Equestrian Collections over $120, just put in a promo code when you're checking out, all one word, Radio Show, and that'll show up on your checkout, $10 off, because you're a listener to the Horse Radio Network.
Fantastic. So once I learn how to post pictures on Facebook on other people's pages, I will totally do it, Glenn. I did take some really cool photos, and, you know, I don't have kids, and I'm newly married, but, oh, my gosh, is there anything cuter than watching, like, ladies out there, your boyfriend or your husband playing with babies? I have some awesome pictures of Chad and his little nephew. Oh, my gosh, they just make you ovulate.
Oh, gosh. I fell off my chair.
Am I wrong, Jennifer? Watching, you know, Glenn play with babies, does that not, like, totally make you just, you know, ovulate right then?
No, I never did that for her, actually.
Really?
No.
I am in no hurry to have children, but I'm sorry. Watching my husband play with babies is, like, and again, I don't want kids right now at all, but it just did something to me. I'm telling you.
I need a drink of water. Hold on.
You know, when I see Glenn playing with babies and particularly small young children, what it makes me feel is I feel bad for the parents because Glenn comes in, he gets them all fired up, he makes sure he has plenty of sugar, gets them riled up and crazy, and then gives them back to the parents.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That's what you're supposed to do.
That's what Glenn
does. An uncle thing, right? Isn't that what uncles are supposed to do?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Chad was running around, throwing them in the air and, you know, tackling them, and they were attacking him, and I got some great pictures of that. And then he's like, dinner's ready. So you bring these riled-up children to the dinner table, and we only had one. We didn't have a kids' table, so they're, like, just tweaking out, sitting there at the table. Their parents are like, calm down. Eat your dinner. Calm down. That's your uncle.
Now, when you were growing up, did you have the kids' table when you were growing up?
Oh, my gosh, absolutely. And the kids' table wasn't even allowed to be in the adult table's room.
So how old were you when they finally let you off the kids' table?
Let's see. Well, see, it's still kind of a kids' table because now we have three generations. So it's like the older generation, then my generation, and then the kids under that. Yes, I am the only female in my entire family who has not had kids. So the pressure is on at every family, any family, anything.
Oh, no.
Yeah, the pressure's on to add to the new kids' table. But did you guys have to sit at one, too?
Yeah, no, you know what, we did. Yes, we did, actually, come to think about it. When the whole family was over, we had a kids' table. And I remember it was a big deal when you finally got to sit at the adult table. That was, like, so cool. And I think, Jennifer, I think up until recently they were still having you sit at the kids' table over there.
Very funny.
Hey, Jamie, when are you heading home?
We're going to head home tomorrow afternoon. We've got a full day of shopping ahead of us. I'm still sore from the workout class that my sister-in-law made me do the other day. Other than that, we are heading home tomorrow to go back to the farm, which, you know, being with your family and out of town is awesome, but you sure do miss your horses, and I sure do miss my horses and dogs, so.
Time to go home. Time to go home to the clan, who I'm sure missed you too, or your farm sitter spoiling them to death, and they're going to be sorry to see you come home. It's going to be one of the other.
My easy keeper, warm blood, is going to be 150 pounds heavier in just a week.
All right, let's get to our first segment here. I had an opportunity to spend some time with Hamish and Dave the other day with my friend Samantha Clark, who was my co-host on the 2010 radio show. We actually got to call Hamish and Dave in Australia. Hamish and Dave are internet YouTube sensations from the World Equestrian Games. They were hired by the Federation of Australia to come over here and document the World Equestrian Games. Well, what happened was they did these funny videos. They were the only ones doing humorous, funny, irreverent videos about the World Equestrian Games, and they became very popular around the world. So They became these kind of internet sensations. Everybody was looking for Hamish and Dave. There were Hamish and Dave sightings at the World Equestrian Games. So we had them on the show with us. We had a blast. We had them on the 2010 radio show, Samantha and I. And I called Samantha up the end of the day, and I said, I'd like to get Hamish and Dave on the morning show, but when we record here, it's 2 in the morning there. And they wouldn't even stay up till 2 in the morning for us. So we had to record it a little later in the day the other day. Yeah, that's right.
At 2 in the morning,
it would have been a whole different interview.
Yeah, they're halfway in the bag, so can't do it.
Well, if you saw their recent videos, they just did 3 recent videos from Adelaide, which is the four-star event, the only one in the Southern Hemisphere down there in Australia. It's a 3-day event. And they did 3 separate videos each of the days, and you will see them drinking in every one. And the one I'm going to post on our show page at horsesinthemorning.com is the one from Cross Country Day. It was excellent. It showed you what the jumps were like. And Adelaide's a unique thing, as they talk about here, because it's a unique event. It goes right through the city. It's a park that's in the middle of the city. So it's really cool. And they were drinking with clowns at 8:30 in the morning. So you're going to want to see why. So let's hear the interview with Hamish and Dave, and then we will be back. So here's Hamish and Dave and my co-host of the 2010 radio show, Samantha. Well, I'm on with Hamish and Dave. We met them at the World Equestrian Games. They were kind enough to join Samantha and I in the 2010 radio show. And we have them on the line. It's early in the morning over there in Australia. And we are so glad that you guys got up early to join us here on Horses in the Morning.
It's a pleasure. You two are the only people we get out of bed early for.
They say that to everybody that asks them, I think.
No, I'm sure they stay in bed for most of them.
Good morning to you too.
Now,
although I was tempted to do as you did in Adelaide and start drinking at 8:30 in the morning, so I think that's a great way to do the interviews.
Oh yeah, get into it and make things funny.
Yeah, I think that's what Jamie does, Glenn.
I think drinking with clowns at 8:30 in the morning was the interesting part of that particular video.
Definitely the experience, let me tell you.
I didn't see either one of you dressed up in a funny wig, though.
Oh, we didn't come prepared. Who would have known there were going to be clowns drinking at 8:30 in the morning?
Let's back up a little for our listeners who have never heard of Hamish and Dave, and God forbid if they haven't. You guys sort of became a video sensation over here at the World Equestrian Games. You were recording for the Federation there in Australia, is that right?
That's correct. Yep, yep. That was that they sort of got us in there to cover the games for from a Australian perspective, I guess, and just have a bit of a poke around and show the people back home what was happening there in Kentucky.
And you now, were you both eventers, or were one of you was an eventer and one was not? Is that right?
I'm the eventer.
And Dave, I'm a show jumper.
Okay, that's right. Yep, I thought I liked Hamish better.
that's okay, because I like Dave better.
Thanks to me as well, I'll do better too.
So Hamish and Glenn are welcome to each other. And we'll see who has better looking children.
We're going to see if this interview ever makes the air. So guys, you came over here. Did you think that your videos would take off really around the world, not just in Australia like they did when you made your trip over here in the first place?
No, look, we didn't at all, man. We just wanted to make interesting videos to the Australian public, and we had no idea the success that it was going to have. Well, wrap that it did, It's fantastic that so many people got behind it and were interested in what we're doing.
Well, you do a great job. You're very funny, and I think you provided something that nobody else did at the WEG, and that was a sense of humor. You were covering not only the events but the fun stuff, and you did the same thing. Now you're back in business here. You were at Adelaide, which is the only four-star? Help me out there.
Australia's only four-star. It's the only four-star in the Southern Hemisphere, actually.
So you did a series of videos there, by the way. I absolutely loved the cross-country day one.
Oh, excellent. Thanks, Glenn.
It was great. And, the footage there that you did of the jumping, and I'm sure Samantha felt the same way, it really gave us a feel for what the cross-country course was like.
Yeah, and I love the way we got to see it all run through the park and the feel of the city.
Well, that was what we're really trying to sort of give the idea of there, was that, there's this four-star in Australia, which is, I guess the equivalent level to all those badminton and Burley and, the Lexington event. And we've got one in Australia that runs through the middle of one of our cities. So that was really what we're trying to portray for people, in the US or wherever.
Yeah, it was brilliant. And actually, I'd been following you on Twitter beforehand, and I was glad to see that you got your mojo back right beforehand.
Yeah, it struck. It was lucky. It just turned up.
Just to the nick of time.
So what are you now? Was the Adelaide coverage that you just did last weekend, was that for the Federation as well, or have you gone out on your own? What's the story?
No, Glenn, that was Hamish and Dave on their own. We did work with the Federation, but we've now
cut ourselves loose.
We're our own entity, and we're trying to do the same thing, but we're just under our banner, Hamish and Dave.
That, God forbid, you're going to have no regulation.
Probably on censors.
You do have a new cameraman, though, who's pretty slick, isn't he? And I think he keeps you in order.
We certainly do. His name's Peter Haynes, and we grabbed hold of him pretty quickly when we got back, and he came to Adelaide with us, and I think he just tolerated the 4 days he spent with us. And I think it was a good test for him. He's proven to be excellent. He's actually a former winner down at Adelaide in 98. He won the three-star event there in its second year. So he knows a thing or two about horses, which is great because it's giving us a bit more scope to show that real horse side of things.
So was he drinking at 8:30 in the morning with the clowns too?
No, Peter was drinking, but he was drinking coffee. He said he's too old for that stuff.
Now, you guys, what's the plan? What's the plan for the future? Are you going to make a business out of this, or just have some fun with it, or is there a plan?
Well, the plan is evolving, I guess. And Adelaide was a small step. We sort of self-funded that to keep the ball rolling after the World Games, because when you've had a bit of success, you want it to you want people to remember you, and people do have short memories in the end. So we didn't want the next two fellas to come along and steal our limelight. So Adelaide, we did that. Look, hopefully we can keep going, and we'd love to make a business out of it. It's great fun. We both enjoy it. It's fun, working together and just bringing out this side of equestrian sport that isn't always seen. Like, there is a humorous side. There's so many personalities out there that I think the normal media just don't except for you guys, don't get hold of. And just bringing out that lighter side of horse sport while still covering, what happened and who won and all that important stuff.
Yeah, I try not to do any of the serious stuff. We let that to the professionals.
Well, the important stuff too is, hey, Mish, are you still with your girlfriend? We saw you coaching. We saw you coaching her behind the scenes.
Yeah, yeah, we're both coaching down there. So we, I did that, and that we all survived that. We survived that mix of doing our media stuff and looking after our girlfriend. So that was, you know, another box ticked.
Now, Dave, are you still doing some jumping?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I've been flat out since I've been back then. Like the last 4 weekends, I've had big shows on, and I've got a couple more before Christmas, and so it's flat out. Like, it's been hard. We came home and we went, right, eh? We want to start doing, you know, do more Hamish and Dave, but we've also had to come home and ride, you know, 8 to 10 horses a day and carry on with our normal lives.
Well, I know Samantha and I are both curious. So what was your takeaway from the World Equestrian Games? What did you go home, you know, what was your takeaway from it? What were you saying?
In terms of the event or in terms of the horse?
I think everything. I think just your overall.
Look, it was a pretty amazing event. I think that there was a collection of horses in all the disciplines there that were probably, you know, those sort of once-in-a-lifetime horses. So to see them, to be there, that was pretty amazing. You know, whether it was the eventing or the show jumping or the dressage, all those other sports, reining and things. And for us, it was just a really eye-opening experience to see those horses and to experience those new sports up close. Like, we made friends with some of the reining guys, and I'd never seen reining in my life. But we've got some really good mates in the reining scene, and I think it's a pretty fascinating sport.
Yeah, we saw you getting up close and personal with Anki. That was quite a coup.
Oh, that was Dave. That was Dave's moment of brilliance.
One of my best moments, I think, with Anki. And I think it was one of hers, too.
without doubt. So which event do you imagine you'll go to next on the international scene? Where can we expect Hamish and Dave?
Ooh, we're not sure. We'd love to come over to the US and do something.
We think something a little closer to home. We might try to go to the Horse of the Year show next year in New Zealand.
Yeah.
But the aim is to go to some of the big events and big horse competitions around the world, you know.
What about badminton? Do you think badminton is ready for Hamish and Dave?
Well, what I can say is Hamish and Dave is ready for badminton.
Samantha,
have you had your invitation to the royal wedding yet?
we're covering it.
We've got a slow postal service here, so I'm sure it's coming. We're waiting. After we finish this, we'll go and stand by the letterbox.
My question, Samantha, is England really ready for Hamish and Dave? I'm not sure.
It's like the Griswolds part two.
Well, you guys are terrific. We will post your latest videos. We'll post all. There's three of them, right, from Adelaide?
From Adelaide. It's all wrapped up now. So
where can people follow you and keep in touch and know what you're up to? How can they do that?
John's been putting them on Eventing Nation as well, by the way.
Yeah. You guys have been great. Everyone's been so good putting things up for us and getting us a bit of a wider audience. So that's been fantastic. But otherwise, they can always look up our YouTube channel, which is just Hamish and Dave TV, which is all one word. Otherwise, we have a Facebook page, which is Hamish and Dave, and Twitter, which is also Hamish and Dave. We're the only Hamish and Dave that seem to be doing anything anywhere in the world, so that's good. We've wrapped that up. So that's really the best way to get in touch with us.
Well, that's terrific, and it definitely has been fun catching up with you guys. We appreciate you being on, and we hope to have you back here soon. If you come, you know, if you come back for Rolex, we're definitely getting you on the air a couple times.
Oh, we'd love to.
That's the plan.
You got our favorite media outlet in the world, talking to you two. I hope the partnership keeps going. You make these comebacks every time we come on.
Bring Samantha back each time.
Do it.
I think that wouldn't be a problem, to be honest with you.
Can we make it a threesome, please?
Okay.
And on that note, thank you guys. Thank all.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Yes,
have a great holiday.
Yeah, have a great holiday, you guys.
And
That was Hamish and Dave on Horses in the Morning, and thanks to Samantha for joining Glenn for that interview. But just want to let you know, our sponsor this half hour is Kentucky Performance Products. When horsemen were asked what they were looking for in a nutritional supplement for their horses, the answer was easy: one that's affordable, effective, and scientifically proven. So Kentucky Performance Products took that message to heart and developed supplements to meet all three of those needs. All of their supplements, from Nalox, equine antacid, to Summer Games electrolytes and joint armor, are formulated based on sound research. They're affordable, and you can count on them to deliver results. So choose the right Kentucky Performance Products supplement for your horse. What you need to do is to do that. Go to kppusa.com or call them at 1-800-772-1988 to learn more about horse nutrition and interact with experts at KPP. Join their Facebook page. And now we have a very special guest on the line, Gabrielle Boiselle. She's a very popular equine photographer, and she shares her images with her fans through calendars, books, DVDs. If you've ever seen a picture of a horse, you have seen her work. She's absolutely amazing. She's traveled the U.S. and abroad. She even instructs amateur photographers. So we are going to welcome her to the show. Hello, Gabrielle.
Hello, very good morning, Jamie. Thank you very much for this very flattering introduction.
Oh, my gosh. Well, thank you so much for being a part of our show. Talk to us about, you know, what you've been doing in 2010. I know you've been traveling and you've got a new calendar line coming out. So what's going on in Gabrielle Boiselle's world?
You know, I'm very much into the Arabian horses as well. And I have been in January in Syria and Jordania photographing horses. And I know Princess Alia of Jordan very well, and she gave me 5 mares and 2 stallions and a big horse trailer, and we went to the desert and turned some of them loose and took some pictures there. So I was very flattered. This is in my new fascination of Arabian horses calendar, but I was in Sardinia chasing some of the last wild ponies there roaming around in the mountains. Then I was in Portugal guiding people and having workshops in Spain. I was in Kentucky in June already before the games. And I was in Morocco. I'm photographing the horses of the king, the bulk horses. And I had a big exhibition in Morocco as well. And so beside that, I'm in Germany giving my workshops and writing books. And just now my new book about Arabian horses is coming out. And so a lot of things are going on.
Well, Gabrielle, let me, you know, how cool is it to be invited by the king to come over and take pictures of his horses? Now, did you ever, when you were growing up, think that would ever happen?
I didn't dream of a king. I only dreamed of horses. And he has really wonderful horses. But really, it's a pain in the ass to work for him because, sorry, but I have to say that you have to have all the security stuff around you, you know. It's a little bit not so convenient. But he himself is a very nice person. And I'm loving as well to feature this horses, the bulk horses, because they were the ancestors of the Andalusians and of the Lusitano horses and of the Lipizzanas and all of them. And now people don't know anymore really about them. And I have, I'm doing this book in January to the High Atlas Mountains there to photograph the people. And I'm going to really remote places where they have no electricity. And they are giving, they don't eat meat because they want to feed their horses with grain. And these horse, these people, the bear people, are really, really into their horses. And it's wonderful to see how the people still live with them. And I'm really pleased to see all this stuff and to see the way how it was with horses since some centuries ago.
How did you get
Oh, I did run away from home. I was 16 or 17 and had some bucks in my pocket. And then I went to Tunisia and Morocco and Egypt and Sudan and Ethiopia. And, I was a kid you cannot hold in the house. I was so adventurous and I loved horses. And so I was always looking for new things, and my camera and my curiosity and also my positive thinking did really give me a wonderful way through life, and I have the most incredible experience. I was in India and in Iceland, in Australia, everywhere on the world because of horses.
Okay, I have to back up a little bit because I do believe, I think you said that you were with the princess, gave you horses to take to the desert, and you let her horses go and photograph them. Tell me a little bit about that.
I know Princess Alia since 25 years, and she's a wonderful person. She has a foundation, and she's saving wild animals in her country and so on. And she has a wonderful Arabian horses from her grandfather still. And so it was always a dream to photograph these horses in the desert. And it took me 25 years up till I came up to ask her if she would do it. And I knew the place, I knew the people, I knew it was safe. So I asked her, and she gave me 5 mares and 2 stallions. And she said to the major, it's all military there, you know, you follow the instructions of Gabrielle. She knows what she's doing. Oh, I found this a wonderful thing, but I was really not sleeping in the night, and I was really a little bit nervous about doing it. But we did it, and we had a sandstorm coming up, so we couldn't see some of the horses where they were far away, but they were so nice to come back, and I had great pictures. And we were touring for several days. We went to Petra. Petra is one of the UNESCO special places. It is a whole city carved into the stones, into the mountains. And we had the horses there in this old places, and it was just wonderful. And the horses were so terrific. After a while, they knew what we wanted, and they just said, okay, let's do it. We do it this way and that way, and if it's fine. They were lovely. You will see it. I'm going to send you one of my new books about Arabian horses, and we have their pictures in there.
Oh,
I
would love
to talk
see
about them. It. So much better to see it.
Well, we are on the phone with amazing photographer Gabrielle Boisel. And Gabrielle, I have to ask you a random question. But, you know, you turned all these horses out at Liberty that you were going to photograph in the desert, right? Well, if I turn my horse out on sand, the first thing he does is lay down and roll. And he gets filthy. How did you keep these horses clean?
No. This is what we wanted. The first thing they do, they run. They run and circle around the other horses. So we kept some horses back so we knew they would be coming back. But then they really love to turn around and to roll, and this made incredible nice pictures. They were supposed to do it.
Okay, gotcha.
And then we photographed with the Royal Guard in the ancient Roman monuments of Cherash. And it was very hard because they were only allowed to wear their red uniforms when the king was present, Abdullah, King Abdullah of Jordan.
Uh-huh.
And so we had to have a special permission that they were allowed to wear these uniforms for my photo shoot. You know, we were running in a lot of complicated situations, and we had to turn for 1 week in Jordan only from the military to the police to the secret service to the army to get the permissions to go to these places in the desert and to turn the horses loose. The horses were not the problem. The people were the problem.
Wow, that's just incredible. It's just incredible. So now that you've been pretty much all over the world working, where do you want to go on vacation? Where do you go on holiday?
I stay at home.
Yeah, it's the only time you get to be home.
I have 12 horses of my own, and I love to ride them and to be around and not to take a camera in the hand. But there's one place in the world, if I want to go out and want to have this incredible experience, which is unique, I'm going to Iceland, because in Iceland, you have your horses and you have a whole herd of horses. When you're traveling through the country, you are riding with about 50, 60 horses loose around you. And then you are really in the wild. There are no streets. There is no electricity. There is, in the surround of several hundred of kilometers, there's nothing. And you have to cross rivers with these horses. You stay in tents, or if it's summer, you just stay outside because the sun is never going down. And if you are going in this group, and this, and the Icelandic men are incredible, and they have wonderful voices, and when they sing in the night, you feel you could be a Viking. You wake up and you are in the Viking age or whatever. It is the wildest country I know. Even in America, when you go, you cross main roads or you see helicopters or whatever. If you're in the middle of Iceland, you are really in the middle of the universe of horses without time. And it's one of the most spectacular landscapes you can find on this earth.
Well, you know, you get to travel, you get to go to some of the coolest places in the world, and I'm jealous, by the way. But you're also at home, though. You have a very special home. Tell us where your family farm is, and I think your family farm just celebrated its 200th anniversary, too.
Thank you for mentioning it, Ken. Yes, I'm very, very proud on it. My grandfather was the so-called today modern horse whisperer, you know, and his farm, because of his ancestors, were lying inside of the medieval town walls of Speyer. Speyer is more than 3,000 years old, and it is in the Rhine Valley. And because there was a lot of people always, how you say, my English is not so good, to, you know, when you lived outside of the wall, of the town walls, you were slaughtered or killed or whatsoever. So it was necessary that you had your livestock and your family inside of the walls,
right,
and your fields outside. And so I'm now working here and sitting here at the moment in the barn of my grandfather where he had his horses. I have now my office and my horses, and this is in the middle of the town. And this is really, we are 5 minutes from the cathedral and from the main road. And it's just very cozy and special. And we just celebrated on the 10th of September our 200th anniversary with a lot of people coming here and celebrating with us.
Now, 200 years ago, that's when, you know, the cathedral was kind of the center of town, am I correct? And then all the houses and family farms were around that because the cathedrals and the churches were where they made the most money, and they brought it in and they spent it in the town. And so you have a lot of history. Tell us, what city are you in again?
It is Speyer, S-P-E-Y-E-R, and the cathedral was built in the year 1011.
Wow.
And when we dug our staircase here to connect two houses, we had a grave. We found a grave and a skeleton of a woman holding a comb in her left hand, and in her right hand she had olive oil, and she dated before Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Okay, that's something we can't talk about too much over here in the United States. It's one of the cool things about all of Europe is your history is much longer than ours, so it just gives you goosebumps when you think about things like that. It must have for you, too.
Yes, because she had blonde hair on her skull, and, you know, I believe in rebirthing, and so you never know, you know?
We should mention that Gabrielle is very blonde. So, Gabrielle, now there's something fascinating that you're involved with that I know nothing about, and I don't know a lot about a lot of things, so that's not difficult. But you're committed to help save what are called the state studs of Europe, and I guess it's a breed of horses that are becoming extinct. I don't know anything about them. Can you tell us about them?
Glenn, hope you're totally wrong.
Okay, I am.
Yes, it is. I need 2 minutes to explain it.
Okay.
Here in Germany, we had a lot of wars between the different kingdoms.
Right.
And as well as you know, surely Napoleon was very much bringing the war to every part of Europe, up to Russia. And all these wars were only fought on horseback.
Right,
and so
right.
The main thing for all these kingdoms, for the kings, was to have a lot of horses to support their armies. The more horses they had, the bigger the army was, the more they were probably going to succeed in killing the others. And so all, especially Louis XIV, the 14th of Louis, he was very, very much behind producing a lot of horses. And so all these kings did establish state studs. And on this studs, they wanted to have faster, quicker, bigger, and more horses. And this was up till the 19th or 18th, end of 18th century, up till we had the industrialization. And then, as in America too, a lot of the horses disappeared. But in this state start, they did breed not only a horse, they always did breed special horses. Horses like Klapphuber horses, Kinski horses, Babboiler horses, and so on. They had very refined and definitive, long historical pools, genetic pools. Some of these horses in their bloodlines are more than 500 years old, and you can trace them back 500 years. And in this state stud, these breeds were conserved. And now we are coming in our money time. And the question is, for all the states, the modern states, is it worth for us to pay money for state studs? What do they bring us? They only cost money nowadays, but they don't bring us anything. So we just eliminate it. And they would eliminate horse breedings for more than 500 years and more. And they would eliminate special breeds, which you cannot come back. You know, when you have a painting in a museum and you don't like it, you put it in a cellar. And 20 years later, it's discovered again, and it makes a lot of money. You can't do that with horses because they eat every day, so they cost money every day.
Right,
but
right.
If you cut once the bloodline, you will never go back to it. And so this group will have about 30 to 40 state studs in Europe. This is in France, in Germany, in Austria, in Yugoslavia, in Hungary, in Poland, and so on. And they are with their traditional uniforms, with their harness, with their coaches, with everything. They are a living museum. And now we want to try to conserve that for the next generation of kids so that they don't see it only in a book or on a DVD. It was once a kind of horses which was named Klapphuber, and they was invented by the Emperor of Austria, but they are no more. We want that they can go there and see them and see these horses. For example, some of these horse breeds, they have only 1,000 or 2,000 species left, no more. And when you look on the World Wildlife map, under 2,000, it's an endangered species. So the directors of these state stars and some people who are involved in that and see this, they try to conserve these state stars. Some of the state stars, like we have in Germany, made it to breed very successful sport horses, dressage horses, jumping horses, and they make their money. But there are other horses, they don't make money anymore. And we try to save these old bloodlines and these old places. You know, it's easily to convert these beautiful palaces that are around into a 5-star hotel.
Right.
But then you lose everything that's around. And the problem is that they are living creatures. You cannot make a museum out of it. But it's a good thing, too. And so we are fighting to keep these state studs alive and that the states are investing money in it and they keep it running.
Now, let me ask you, where can people learn more about the state studs? Is there a Facebook page? Is there a website?
We are just in train to translate it in English. There is a website, but it's only in German at the moment.
Okay.
And I'm coming out and I'm writing on a book about the state studs. We want to put them together and we try in Europe to get a kind of preservation for them. You know, like you have the UNESCO World Wildlife Foundation, we want to make a foundation to preserve the horses as a part of the European cultural heritage. And this is the fight we are just at the moment fighting in Prague to get this acknowledgement for it.
Well, you're listening to Horses in the Morning, and we're talking with Gabrielle Boisel. Her website is additionboisel.de, and we'll link that up on our homepage on horsesinthemorning.com. And Gabrielle is a photographer extraordinaire. She travels the world. Gabrielle, is there any country that you have not been to that you still want to go to?
May I just finish a little bit, because I'm not only busy here in Europe, I'm very often in America too, and I just was very happy that I won an award for my DVD I did make about how to photograph horses. And I'm giving some of workshops in Florida and in Kentucky and in California, and I love to be in America. I love to be in the Rockies, and I love to see how the Americans are handling their horses. They are not so conventional than a lot of the Europeans. And so I love really to come back to America from time to time. And I hope I will be coming back as well to your morning show, perhaps with some stories from my travels in America.
Well, that would be great. Oh, that would be awesome. And, of course, our show is centered here, but we have listeners all around the world. We hear from them all the time, and it's very nice to hear from our listeners around the world. Thank you so much. Believe it or not, our half an hour has gone by this quickly.
And there's one thing I have to mention still. When I photograph for the King of Morocco, this year, or since 3 years, we have a wonderful horse show in Casablanca, and I'm just getting together a group of people who want to come with me to see these horses in next October in Morocco. And Good. With more information to you, and Jamie, if you want to come, it's October, and it's wonderful, and we are eating a lot of couscous and seeing a lot of good horses, and you're invited.
I like couscous and good horses, so I'm in.
I think we could do the morning show from there. I think that wouldn't be a problem at all. Thank you very much. We will put links to all of your information on our show notes and on our Facebook page as well. And we just appreciate you being here. We're in all the way from Europe. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right.
Wow.
That was Gabrielle Boisel. She was kind enough to join us all the way from Europe. We appreciate her joining us. And now we're going to take a break for the news, and we'll be back with more conversation here on Horses in the Morning.
I'm Samantha Clark with your Horse Radio Network news. It's Friday, the 26th of November, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning. Saudi Arabia's Ramzi Al-Duami added the individual gold show jumping medal to his team one Wednesday at the Asian Games. Sheikha Latifa Al Maktoum also added a second silver medal to her tally when she took second place in the individual, having already clinched team silver with her UAE teammates, one of whom, Khalid Al Eid, took the bronze medal on her brother's and team members' famous Weg horse, Presley Boy. Now that Thanksgiving is over, we can start getting in the mood for Christmas. And in England, there's no better show for that than Olympia, the London International Horse Show. This year, not only will it feature all the usual festive fun, such as the Shetland Pony Grand National, show jumping costume and the Christmas Carol finale, but also the British Weg Dressage silver medalist Laura Bechtel-Steimer, riding her fantastic chestnut partner Misrels Horace. Competing against her in the Riem Acra REI World Cup Dressage Qualifier will be the entire Dutch Weg gold medal winning team of Edward Gal, Adeline Cornelissen, Hans-Peter Minderhood and Imke Schellekens-Bartel. Edward Gal, of course, will not be riding his gold medal ride, Moorland's Totilus. It will be announced on Tuesday who his next rider will be, as new owner Paul Schockemöller has apparently reached an agreement with a German team rider. Following the yearly FEI General Assembly in Taipei earlier this month, a new shorter Grand Prix special dressage test will be used for the London 2012 Olympics only. It will be about 2 minutes shorter in order to fulfill the International Olympic Committee's requirement to keep the same time frame as in Hong Kong and to allow a total of 32 horses to take part in the competition. The Mitsubishi Motors Badminton Horse Trial has been chosen for the prestigious Event of the Year Award 2010 by the International Equestrian Yearbook L'Année Hippique. Voted for by riders and other participants, it's in recognition of not just the competitive stature and organization of the event, but also for visitor satisfaction and infrastructure. Badminton director Hugh Thomas said, "It's a great honor to be recognized by our peers, and it will certainly give great encouragement to the hundreds of volunteers who really make the event work. We will try and win again in 2011. For our American listeners, please remember to tune your TiVos, DVRs, or plain old-fashioned videos to the Discovery Channel on Tuesday night at 9 o'clock Eastern for their hit series Dirty Jobs, which will feature Kentucky Equine Research. Based in Versailles, Kentucky Equine Research not only do an amazing job, which you'll see on the program, but they also sponsor whole teams, most recently the U.S. Para-Equestrian Team and the Australian Endurance Team at WEG. In fact, Dirty Jobs found the operation so fascinating, they doubled the program from its usual half an hour to an hour. Glenn, this one's specially for you. More than 30 entries have been received for the inaugural $100,000 added NRHA World Championship Shootout, scheduled for 7:30 p.m. next Thursday at the NRHA Futurity and Adequan North American Affiliate Championship Show. Sadly, it's not the shooting with guns kind of shootout, but it is this year's largest added money NRHA-approved class in the world. The shootout is an open-to-the-world class where the top open reining horses on the planet may compete in a dramatic showdown for the winner's estimated purse of $30,000. And get this, Glenn and Jamie, just in time for Christmas shopping, entries can still be submitted with the appropriate late fee. Entries of note so far include our 2010 radio show friend, Sean Florida, and the Italian reiner who caught my eye at WEG, Marco Ricotta, sadly not riding Lyle Lovett's beautiful Palomino with a long, long mane this time, but I'm sure it's still worth watching. That's much more than we strictly had time for, I'm afraid. Chris will be back next week with all your Horse Radio Network news. I'm Samantha Clark, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning.
Ready?
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I've got a beautiful feeling. Horses are coming my way. You're listening to Horses in the Morning.
Ready?
Well, Jamie, we're back. Hey, that was a lot of fun. You know, it's sometimes tricky to get the connection made to Europe on Skype and then to get it through the system here and everything. But we thank Gabrielle for coming on the show. I can't imagine what her passport must look like.
She's on passport number 3 in the last year. She's an amazing, fascinating woman. And I'm sorry, my friend is the Princess of Morocco. And yes. Like, what? Oh, my gosh, I need to get a camera.
I know, and she travels to some of the most beautiful places and takes some of the most beautiful pictures. She is better able to document her travels than any of us, and you know we all want to be that good at documenting our travels as we go around. But I think that event she's talking about next October sounds like a great place to do the morning show.
Yeah, you know, there's no more peaceful and beautiful place in Morocco.
We want to remind everybody that you can give us a call. We still have some time left in today's show. We'd love to hear from you about anything. It's open Friday. Just call us and chat about anything. We don't care. It's and our phone number is 347-637-3238. We'll get you right through. And we have today's prize is $50 worth of Kentucky Performance products. You can pick anything you want from their line of supplements and products, and you can visit them at kpptusa.com. Well, we got to speak to Hamish and Dave. We didn't get to chat about that. They're a lot of fun, aren't they?
Oh, my gosh. Their videos are hysterical. Just to be in the eventing world and be behind the scenes. I was a groom for a top rider once, and the behind the scenes is very serious, and it's very – everybody's concentrating and working very hard. And then you've got these two goofballs – walking around interviewing, you know, like one's interviewing a hot chick and the other, you know, the other one, then they go up and they start boozing and drinking. And it's just so funny because eventers are like that. Typically, they're a fun group of people, but they got their game faces on. And then you got these two guys that come in and just disrupt the whole thing in a very fun way. And,
well,
and
I think they can get away with it also because they're Australian guys, and Australian guys seem to be able to get away with crap that we can't get away with.
Oh, without a doubt. And I'm sorry, but there is not an American woman who does not meld with the sound of an Australian accent. We can't help it.
Well, and they are a lot of fun. We had a good time with them when they were here. We ran into them several times at the World Equestrian Games. They were very popular. People knew who they were. And, you know, we had to make an appointment to get them on the show. They were doing so much stuff. And, of course, they were recording their own shows. And I loved them because they're irreverent. This World Equestrian Games needed somebody to be doing that. And they did it. They took the reins and they went with it. And thanks to the Australian Federation for putting them over here and getting that done. I wanted to mention that on Facebook, Karen posted, we always had a kid table when we had a large family gathering. And only to keep our sanity. When cousins get together, they are loud. So, and then Deanna posted, kids' tables, memories. We had them too. I miss family gatherings at my grandma's. Thank you for your beautiful work, Gabrielle. So she was listening in. We appreciate that. You know, we didn't get to spend Thanksgiving Day with family, but we got to do that when we were down in Florida a couple weeks ago. But yesterday, Jennifer and I had an unusual Thanksgiving. I cooked the whole turkey. I did the whole turkey dinner just for the two of us, and I had a blast cooking yesterday morning. That was a lot of fun. But we got to listen to audiobooks when we drive. Well, when we drove to Florida, we were listening to a Dave Robichaux novel, James Lee Burke novel, and I don't know if you've listened to any of the Dave Robichaux detective novels, but he's out of Louisiana, and we love them. We've listened to every one of them. There's been like 10. And on the way to Florida and back, we had it going nonstop. We had it going. But we got home, there was 2 hours left. And I hate that because you want to end your trip just as you end your book. Otherwise, you never get back around to it. You forget what happened. So yesterday we said, that's it. During Thanksgiving dinner, we listened to our book, and we finished our book during Thanksgiving dinner. I don't think that's probably not very romantic, but we got our book done.
You listen to the detective novel during dinner. You're supposed to discuss what you're thankful for and be all smoochy and lovey and tell each other how much you love each other and what another great 25 years, you know, and 26 is going to be better. No, you guys sat quietly listening to a book.
Yeah.
Yes, we did. It was kind of fun, though. We got to finish our book, and we actually didn't finish it during dinner, so we actually finished it up last night while sitting on the couch with a cat on my lap, and we're babysitting a dog right now. We got a little border collie here, and his name is Buddy, and Buddy was at our feet, so it was actually a kind of a family night.
We had everything except the romantic fire.
That's true. And it was like the old days where you sat around the radio and listened, you know, back in the 40s and 30s. Where everybody was sitting around the radio, that's what it kind of felt like. It was kind of neat not to have the TV on for a couple minutes. Hey, we have a caller here, and he usually calls in on Mondays. He's picking a different day. Hi, Robert. You're on the air.
Well, good morning.
Well, now, why do you have off today? Is this a day off for you? You've been out shopping or what?
No, I don't have it off. I'm getting ready to go to work right now.
Okay. You know, I don't know if we had a chance. One of these days, we're going to talk about what people do for a living, because you have the most unusual job of anybody I've ever talked to.
There aren't a lot of me out there.
What is it?
I build wigs for the theater.
Are these actual, like, human hair wigs?
Most of them are, yes.
And you're building them for characters, may need a long wig or a short wig or whatever?
Right. I work at a children's theater, and whatever's needed for the plays, I do.
That's cool.
Oh, so you can make one for Pippi Longstocking.
I've done Pippi Longstocking wigs, yes.
What's the one in Disney that has the long, long hair they just made a movie about?
Rapunzel.
Tangled.
Yeah, Rapunzel. That's right. Yeah, it's Rapunzel. So what's up? What's up with you, Robert?
Well, I just called in to say, remember you had a lottery show a while ago?
Yeah.
What would you do?
Oh, my God.
Did you win? If I win now, I remember I was going to travel before. I'm just going to look up Gabrielle and go travel with her.
No kidding, right? She is a force to be reckoned with. Oh, my gosh. She's amazing.
Yeah, and what a fun life.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and you get paid. Photograph horses.
And get paid for it very well, I would imagine, considering she's at her family farm of 200 years. So, yeah, very phenomenal woman. And, Robert, hey, what did you do for Thanksgiving yesterday?
I got together with some friends and ate way too much food and had a great time.
Are you Black Friday shopping today?
No, I'm getting dressed to go to work right now, so...
Well, you can do it online.
Let me ask you, I'm coming back to your job because things like this fascinate me. I'm easily fascinated, Robert. So now you take every little strand and weave it in? Is that how it's done?
It is, if I hand-tied the entire thing. Have you ever done latch hook or seen latch hook done?
I've seen it done.
Yeah.
It's exactly the same motion, just done with one and two hairs at a time.
Eek.
Oh, my God. You have to have the patience of a saint.
Well, I always tell people it's like when people sit down to knit or crochet and they just go into that zone and relax. It's the same thing.
Well, no wonder you have time to listen to our shows.
Exactly. I sit there tying hair and building wigs and listen to the shows.
Well, that's funny. Well, Robert, we're going to do a show someday. We'll do it on a Monday. We're going to do a show someday on the real jobs of horse people, and we're definitely going to have to highlight yours because it's definitely unusual, that's for sure. Hey, we should get Dirty Jobs Guy to come out and do yours.
Mine's not very dirty, though. I can't wait to do that show.
All right, Robert, thank you for calling in. We appreciate it, and have fun at work today.
I will try. Have a good weekend.
Hey, I have to apologize for something quick. The other day you wrote to me, I caught myself when I was saying that I was the only guy on there because I remembered you were on there. I caught myself and said a couple of others because I remembered you. And now I think there's three guys, actually, that listen to our show, me and you and the other one there on Facebook. So, I know you
always wanted the horse husband show, but I'm like, we need to actually do a show about guys who ride.
That's true.
I love
it. Women are on here.
That's true.
It's always all about the women. We need some guys on here.
I know. I agree.
Well, Robert, if you could tell 10 of your guy friends to listen, that'd be great.
Yeah, well, okay, I'll be totally honest, but the problem is finding 10 guy friends who ride.
Yeah, exactly.
I can think of about three.
I know. My husband is, like, so excited that I ride horses because he's like, there is no way you're meeting any dudes doing what you do.
Exactly. He knows you're totally safe when you go to the barn.
Oh, definitely. Without a doubt. Hey, Robert, thanks for calling.
All right. Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, that was Robert, one of our loyal listeners here to the Horse Radio Network. We appreciate him calling in today. This half hour is sponsored by Kentucky Performance Products. Are you struggling to put weight on your horse? Is your horse maxed out on grain but still needs more energy? Are you dealing with muscle and metabolic challenges? If so, try Endure Extra. Endure Extra contains 50% fat, which is, I should not have done this commercial today, Jamie. I should have given this one to you. Go ahead.
Endure Extra contains 50% fat, which provides low starch energy while reducing the risk of grain overload. The direct-fed microbials added to Endure Extra stimulate the appetite and maintain normal digestive tract function, allowing horses to get the most out of their diet. Each 8-ounce serving contains 1,000 IU of natural vitamin E, which supports normal muscle function and maintains immunity. And you can learn more about Endure Extra at KPPUSA.com.
Hi. All right. Well, do you have anything planned this weekend? You're heading home tomorrow.
But before we head home tomorrow, I would like to point out that there are about four ladies in the other room that are waiting for me to finish this radio show because the starting gun goes off the second I say goodbye. And we are out
Well, then we better get out of here.
and going to the mall, and we are going to do some damage. You know, we've got, like, our Christmas lists and our list of shopping that we have to do. So, yeah, as soon as we get out of here, we are heading out to the mall and to Lowe's and to Home Depot and to Toys R Us. I mean, just all those places that, you know, we're I'll probably get exhausted or get a black eye within the first hour, hour and a half, because I'll be fighting over something. But it should be an exciting adventure, as Black Friday always is.
Well, you know, I guess the short girls have a tougher time, too. You guys probably get knocked down more.
Well, we're the same size as the shopping cart, so we can just bully through with the shopping cart.
I get to head off next, and we'll wrap up the show here a little early today and head into the weekend. I get to head off next to the Department of Motor Vehicles. So
why?
There you go.
Are you serious?
Yeah, like a dummy, and I hope they aren't listening right now. We just discovered that our registration for the one car expired at the end of last month. So I better go do that before I get pulled over. We just totally forgot about it. It's one of those things, you know, you always forget about. So
I think it's funny that you said, I hope they're not listening, because I seriously doubt that anybody at the DMV is listening to our show.
That's true.
Never know.
Ride horses.
I'm going to wager a guess.
You know, we are in Kentucky. There's a possibility. There's a possibility. Well, Jamie,
true. You
have a great weekend. Have a good day shopping. Have a safe trip home tomorrow back to your horses so you can get a ride in on Sunday.
Thank you. I'll be riding Saturday night. I get in about 4, so I'll be home at 4, so I'll be on the horses by 4:30.
I'll be sure to listen to all the shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. Take a listen to Chris's shows this week. She did a special series of shows called Inspirational People. It's her Inspirational Person series, and she did one for all of the dressage, the eventing, and the jumping show. They were very good shows. You want to take a listen to those. At horseradionetwork.com. Also, you can follow us on Facebook. Yeah.
Glenn, I was going to say, I believe she did My Hero, Jimmy Wofford. Is that true?
Yes, she did this week.
Gotta go listen.
You have to listen to that. It was very good. I listened to it the other day, and he is an inspiration, and he's a neat guy. So, yeah, that's on at eventingradio.com. And, of course, follow us on Facebook. You can just post a note there over the weekend, and you'll be qualified to win the $50 gift certificate from Kentucky Performance Products. And we can follow us on Twitter at Horse Radio.
If you missed a live show, of course, you can always listen to the recorded version on our website, horsesinthemorning.com, affiliate websites, iTunes. You never need to miss an episode. And we will be back Monday with more fun and games and shenanigans. So goodbye, everybody. Say goodbye, Glenn.
Goodbye, everybody. Goodbye, Jennifer. Goodbye, Jamie. Have a great weekend and ride safely.
See y'all.